Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
312-981-7200 is our phone number. I'm Rick Pearson. This is your Sunday Spin. And joining me now on the phone is Kent Redfield. He's Professor Emeritus at the University of Illinois at Springfield and a member of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois. And frankly, no one knows more about political campaign finance than Kent Redfield. Kent, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good to be here.
Well, we've obviously knew that this was going to be an expensive governor's race. We obviously know of Bruce Rauner's personal wealth and that he's not shy about using it for political campaigns, be it his own, the state Republican Party, or Republican candidates for the legislature. And, of course, we also have in the Democratic primary, billionaire entrepreneur and investor J.B. Pritzker, an heir of the Hyatt Hotel fortune. But so we look at the part of the reason I have Kent on is we've just seen the campaign finance reports filed for the second quarter of this year, the 3 months from April to June. And in that time period, those 3 months, and you've got, you know, a myriad candidates running for governor on the Democratic side, $36 million, more than $36 million was raised. 34 of it from two people. $20 million from Ken Griffin, the billionaire hedge fund founder who's an ally of Bruce Rauner, and $14 million from J.B. Pritzker, who is self-financing his own campaign. I guess we shouldn't be startled by big numbers anymore.
Well, no. I mean, these are staggering figures, and up until 2013, this would have just been unbelievable. I mean, we've never had anybody self-finance at more than maybe $10 million, and then a losing candidate at that, and now, you know, we've seen $100 million governor's race. We've seen Bruce Rauner and Ken Griffin, and you have to add Richard Yulin into that. The three of them, $100 million in the previous two cycles, and they're, we've already got $50 million of Rauner's money and $20 million worth of Griffin's money in this cycle. And so it's the new normal, but it's amazing how long, it's just been a very short period of time when somebody putting $1 million into a campaign was huge news, and that certainly is not the case.
Now, I mean, there's always been the ability to self-fund as a candidate, but the fact that, the big money also tied into the fact of the changing nature of campaign finance laws. I mean, that allow these kind of unlimited donations.
Yeah, you see a lot of, the big money in terms of individuals has always been there. I mean, and if someone wants to self-fund their campaign, they've always been able to do that. But now we've seen the ability to move a lot more money into independent expenditures. And so when we talk about, the last two cycles, you just look at the candidates' totals, that's misses in the governor's race, about $16 million worth of independent expenditures that Big Labor made against Bruce Rauner. When you get into the last cycle, on top of the $50 million that went through the political funds on the Republican side in the legislature, there's another $10 million in independent expenditures, primarily from Liberty Principles PAC. And so, while we got contribution limits in 2010, the changes in the court rulings in terms of independent expenditures and the fact that you can't limit self-funding, contribution limits in terms of statewide office are pretty irrelevant, and they really are not much of an obstacle in terms of getting big money into an individual legislative race. And so while there's certainly was hope, the people that pushed campaign finance reform, and I was one of them, before 2010. It turned out that the victory won in terms of getting contribution limits has turned out to be pretty meaningless in terms of any kind of constraint on the money that's being put into politics in this state.
Although one aspect of that was the better reporting of these donations, so that
no question,
which is helpful to be able to track everything that's going on. I mean, when you talk about this money, for example, the governor's campaign spent about $3.4 million in that April to June period. And about half of that went to the state Republican Party. But, of course, we also had seen these ads featuring the governor. But those ads that ran for the most part during that period, that wasn't even paid for out of the governor's campaign fund. That was from an offshoot of the Republican Governors Association, and it was one of those tax-exempt offshoots that we don't know who the source of the money is, even though Ronner's campaign says that they weren't the source of the money, but we don't know where the money came from.
No. If they're depending on if it's a 527, which is one kind of federal classification, or if it's a 501c4, you may find out in a general sense who the donors were way after the fact. But most of the time, there's no transparency at all in terms of the sources of money. And so, those ubiquitous kind of duct tape ads were paid by, one group that set up another group, that was actually running the ads. And so, you get a handle of what's going on. Certainly, and some of that is timely. And Illinois' system is very good. You get real-time disclosure of a contribution over $1,000 or an independent expenditure over $1,000, all year round, and then, in a very short turnaround, right before an election. So, the information is out there in a much better way than it is in lots of states, but. It certainly is a new ballgame. I mean, we had the most expensive legislative election in history 2 years ago in terms of, $4 and $5 million races. And that's really what we're looking at this time around. And I'm sure is a concern of the Democrats is, that if you have to, combat Rauner, Griffin / Euland's money in both the governor's race and the legislative races, that you could get spread pretty thin if you're talking, $100 million kind of figures in terms of, the effort that it might take to cover both of those bases from a big, the big interest groups. That's what makes J.B. Pritzker attractive is if he can self-fund the governor's race, then big labor, big law, health facility groups, nursing homes, hospitals, they tend to be donating to the Democratic candidates in the legislature. They would like to be able to focus on that and not have to put big money in the governor's race. We're a long way from there, but you can certainly understand, how Pritzker's campaign, just on its face, would look attractive to the Democrats and to their primary funders.
We're speaking to Kent Redfield from the University of Illinois at Springfield. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, and I'm speaking with Kent Redfield, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois at Springfield. We're talking about the early money race for governor. And Kent, before the break, we were talking about what makes J.B. Pritzker as an attractive Democratic candidate for some elements of the Democratic Party who want someone that can go toe-to-toe with the Rauner money on the Republican side, freeing up money for the legislative races. We look at what Pritzker spent in that April through June period. and you've got, you know, him spending like $9.3 million, I believe it was. And obviously, we can see where that money was spent because all you have to do is turn on the TV.
Yeah, no, and if you are an unknown, which he is, you have to build your name recognition. He also wanted to position himself as someone who was, you know, countering Rauner's message. And so, I mean, he was both trying to build name recognition, and he was also kind of auditioning with, you know, the powers and the interest groups within the Democratic Party, saying, you know, I can be out there and be, you know, be taking on the governor directly, which is something that a lot of people were saying, you know, where's the Democratic voices in terms of Rauner's commercials. $9 million is an incredible burn rate in terms of going.
Oh yeah, I mean, $3 million a month. But you know, I guess when you have an unlimited checkbook, that's you're able to do those kinds of things.
Certainly, it is not inconceivable that we would challenge, you know, the all-time record for kind of a governor's race seems to be about $250 million back in, I think, 2010 with...
it was Meg Whitman in California, I believe.
And Jerry Brown. And you could certainly see those kinds of numbers in terms of this race. I mean, at some point, you know, the eighth mailer you get or the fourth commercial you're watching in a row, it tends to, you know, it you're getting kind of marginal returns on that. But
do you think that's happened already, Kent? In some respects, I mean, part of it is, you know, we have people, obviously, you know, it's July and you know, we're talking about a primary in March. We're talking about a general election over a year away, but we have been inundated with TV ads from both Rauner and from Pritzker. Pritzker team has done mailings. Rauner's team has done mailings on legislative candidates already.
Yeah, it's just, you know, what we used to think about, what was the election cycle and when did things happen? I mean, it's become, you know, perpetual campaign, not only in raising money, but now in spending money. And I suspect it will, you know, we will get a hiatus now during the summer a little bit, but we're going to pick it back up in the fall. Plus, certainly with Rauner's new communications team, and you know, he's going to be out there, in his words, messaging in terms of his agenda items constantly. In terms of, their conclusion was they didn't win because, you know, not because of the message, but because they didn't say it clearly enough and loudly enough. And so, you know, that background's going to be there. Eventually, the other candidates, and we certainly shouldn't, you know, we need to talk about Kennedy and Biss, who have raised, you know, Biss has impressive numbers. If we were, you know, talking, you know, previous campaigns,
normal times,
yeah. Kennedy's name is out there, and so, you know, he still has to make good on that. But, you know, the biggest spender back in 2006 was Rod Gidwich, who ended up running, I think, fourth or fifth to Judy Barr Topinka. And so, you know, you have to, spending money is one thing. You have to spend it effectively. People have to decide there's a there. And so there's a lot of campaign to go through between, you know, now and next March.
You touched on the governor's change in staffing and communications team now kind of tapping into the Illinois Policy Institute. We have a story on the front page of the Sunday Tribune today with my colleagues Kim Geiger and Monique Garcia about messaging. I just found it kind of ironic when you look at the shakeup in the White House and the communications team there and Sean Spicer leaving, Anthony Scaramucci coming in as communications director and Sarah taking over as the press secretary. And it's the same kind of argument I think that you're seeing with the governor from Trump, is that it's not that the message is wrong in their belief. It's that the message isn't being delivered properly.
And this is, you know, Trump kind of redefined kind of what a campaign means in terms of, and Rauner to a certain extent also with the, you know, shake up Springfield and you know, and that seemed to be, you know, an effective strategy in terms of getting elected. Now we've had, you know, 2.5 years of Rauner, only 6 months of Trump, where, you know, now we're kind of shifting, you know, well, we'll shift to governing mode, and that requires people to work in kind of this, you know, the old framework. And now you seem to see Rauner and Trump both saying, you know, maybe that's not the way to go. Maybe we can take the way we ran campaigns and translate that into governing. Now, you know, obviously a lot of people experienced in the legislature, experienced in Congress, you know, think you can't do that, but that it certainly seems to be, you know, quite similar in terms of kind of the conclusions that have been drawn and the directions things are going, not just in Washington, D.C., but also in Springfield.
That's Kent Redfield, Professor Emeritus from the University of Illinois at Springfield, a member of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois. Kent, thanks so much, as always, for joining me.
Oh, certainly. Good to talk to you.
We'll be back with more right after this.